You know, and one of the things about it is when service is over, you bump into folks maybe you don't have a chance to talk to. So we're just kind of shaking it up a little. So don't be surprised if we pop up here or there in the time to come. But good morning. Happy that you're here. It's a great, wonderful morning. We're blessed to be here. Visitors, thank you again for making that decision to be here. We're grateful that you're here. It encourages us. I pray that we are an encouragement to you. And don't forget, if you haven't, sign up for pictures. Right? How great is it going to be when we have that new directory? We're going to have it online. So you can open up your phone even and go through your directory and see who's who if you're not sure. But make sure you sign up for that if you haven't already. And be aware, of course, of all the activities coming up. And let's be very, very mindful of those who need our prayers. In 1973, there was a very unusual situation that occurred, and it's referenced even till today. It was in Stockholm, Sweden, a bank robbery. Hostages were taken, and these hostages were put in a bank vault. That's an actual photo, the best one I could find, a hidden police camera. And what happened was the bank robbers, the hostage takers, took these hostages for 6 long days. And as a matter of fact, during the ordeal, the police had communication with one of the hostages. And one of the hostages said, I'm going to quote here, was talking to the Swedish prime minister. The prime minister kind of stepped in to help oversee everything. And Kristen, one of the hostages, was allowed to speak to the prime minister. And she said this, quote, "I am very disappointed with the police." Now remember, this is a hostage speaking with the police. She said, "I think you're just sitting there playing checkers with our lives. I fully trust Clark." That's one of the robbers' names. "I fully trust Clark and the other robbers. I'm not desperate. They haven't done a thing to harm us." Well, except take them hostage, right, for 6 days. She said, "They've been very nice. But you know what I am scared of? That the police will attack and cause us to die." And to that, the prime minister said, "The police will not harm you. Can you believe that?" Kristen then replied, "I do not believe it." And she went on to say that their captors were actually protecting them from the police. Now, since this time, since this incident right here, there's been a description of that type of behavior. Maybe you've heard of it before. It's called Stockholm Syndrome. And that's when the captives actually think that they're better off with their captors than being free. It describes when individuals really think that life is better with their captors than without them. And maybe we would look at this and say, you know, I don't see how that could ever happen. But listen, this morning I want you to think about the fact that it happens all around us on a daily basis. It happens a whole lot more than we would admit or realize. You see, there's one that wants to take us captive, not only on this earth, but for eternity. Keep us in bondage and slavery, and of course, that's Satan. And isn't it amazing how many people will think instead of being free, that they'll continue to convince themselves that they are better off in that captivity and that slavery than the freedom that's being offered through Jesus Christ. Now, I want to read, before we get going here, I want to read two sentences to have this in our minds here before we continue on. Number one, God's wisdom, it's far superior to our wisdom, which makes this a wonderful and necessary gift to mankind. And the second sentence, I want you to think about, without God's holy word, not only would we do harmful things, but we neglect helpful things. And then we become sympathizers of evil. Right? If we don't learn this, if we don't have a willingness to learn this, to love it, and to live it, you will become a sympathizer of evil. You will. You might be thinking, oh, I'd never become a sympathizer of evil. But listen, if you aren't consistently taking the Word of God and putting it in your mind, you will become a sympathizer of evil. And if that challenges us this morning, I think that's a good thing. You know, and I pray that we take that thought home with us today, and if we're honest, we'll see that when we learn the Word of God, we're going to be willing to trust Him and obey Him, and we'll have that freedom. On the flip side of that, again, when we aren't willing to take God's holy word, we'll never trust Him, we'll never obey Him, and we will become sympathizers of evil. Exodus first chapter. You know, what we're going to read here really is what we've been talking about the last, this will be the third week, using this example, talking about the children of Israel. And God uses this example again and again and again throughout Scripture. He's given us a lesson, a picture of redemption. So it's important that we truly understand this. And so we're going to look again at the children of Israel. And I want you to think about everything we've talked about up to this point here. And after we go through this, we're going to end this lesson in the New Testament. We're going to read two New Testament passages. One is in reference to this, talking about how they were sympathizers of evil. And then the second one in the New Testament, as we end the lesson, we're going to ask that question of you and I. Basically, are we going to do the same thing that they did? Okay? But right here in Exodus, the first chapter, and most of us know the story. Israel been slaves for 400 years. And as bad as that was, toward the end of their slavery, it was getting a whole lot worse. Right? A Pharaoh rose that remembered Joseph no more. And you read a little bit more there in Exodus chapter 1. Pharaoh became afraid of the children of Israel. They're getting too strong. And so he got his taskmasters together, and he says, I want you to make them serve with rigor. And that Hebrew word for rigor means to break. I want you to break them. I want you to break them physically, emotionally, spiritually, along with killing the male children. Of course, you remember that. But I want you to serve them so hard. Yeah, you can kill a lot of them, but the ones that we don't kill, I want you to break them down and understand that's what Satan does to us as our taskmaster, as our slave master. And you think about all of this going on here, how terrible it must have been. Just imagine how terrible it must have been to have been a Hebrew slave at this time. And then imagine how wonderful it would then be for Aaron and Moses to show up and say, hey, you got a God. As a matter of fact, He loves you, and He wants to set you free from this bondage. He's offering them freedom. And then you continue on through their story. Exodus 6 chapter, you'd think, you know, that would have been the best news, right? And that the Israelites would never fail to appreciate that God made a covenant with them in verse 4. You probably know the rest of the story. They wouldn't heed Moses, verse 9. But then they forgot it almost immediately and on a consistent basis as you read through their story. And we need to look at their story and make some application. You know, let us remember how we, just like the Israelites, sometimes forget how blessed we are. And you continue through their story, chapter 7 through 14, we read of Egyptian bondage. Moses, Aaron, they worked miracles by the hand of God and to prove that they were bringing a voice from God to Pharaoh. Listen, nobody could have done those things but God. And you continue through their story, chapter 12. Pharaoh's convinced after that 10-part correspondence course, right, the 10 plagues. And he says, go, take your people, get out of here. You know, finally they're set free and they're on their way to the promised land. Now chapter 14 here, if you have your Bibles open. Now they're at the very edge of the Red Sea. And as they're at the edge of the Red Sea, Pharaoh drew near. Read it with me. Verse 10. And when Pharaoh drew near, the children of Israel lifted their eyes, and behold. Now think here. Are we going to live by faith or are we going to live by sight? Keep reading. And behold, the Egyptians marched after them, so that they were very afraid, and the children of Israel cried out to the Lord. Now stop right there. Now you think, well, that's a good thing. You know, they cried out to the Lord. That's good, isn't it? But I want you to notice here what they cried out. Notice what they needed to do. Look at verse 11. Read it with me. This is what they cried out. Because there's no graves in Egypt, have you taken us away to die in the wilderness? Why have you so dealt with us to bring us up out of Egypt? Verse 12, is this not the word that we told you in Egypt, saying, let us alone that we may serve the Egyptians? Notice the sympathy there. Where it would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than we should die in the wilderness. Now listen, you know, we're in a stressful situation right now, a difficult situation. The easiest thing for me to do is escape in my mind. What I don't want to do is trust. Trust who? God. Right? Now, we do that all the time. Right? Difficult situation in life. The easiest thing for us to do is escape in our minds. You know, when I was living back in the world, I didn't have to worry about that because I could trust in myself. You know, I could handle the situation. I didn't have to trust in God. You see, the things that I can see with my eyes make so much more sense to me than the things that I can't see by faith. Now, I want you to notice in all of these passages here, the emphasis again and again and again is, do you trust God? Do you trust Him? Are you willing to obey God? That's the emphasis that we see over and over again and again. And so notice here the answer, verse 13, as Moses pleads with them to trust God. And Moses said to the people, do not be afraid, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Moses is saying, you're standing at the edge of salvation, can't you see it? Right? And so Moses here, what's very neat and powerful to me, is Moses is speaking in the future tense. It hasn't happened yet. You know, the parting of the Red Sea to save them, it hasn't happened yet. He's saying, I want you to see the salvation of the Lord. He trusts in God so much, he's saying it's already happened. And he believed that. The delivery's already happened. And he's saying, listen, if you wait, you're going to see God deliver you. Right? It doesn't matter if Pharaoh and his men are coming. You just wait and see. Right, 2 Corinthians 5, verse 7, for walk by faith and not by sight. But they couldn't see that because they lived only by what they could see physically. What a great and powerful lesson for us today. Moses here at this point, he's living and seeing by faith. And he continues to plead with them. Verse 13, which he, talking about God, which he will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians you see today, see, it's all about what do you see? You shall see no more forever. Right? And if you remember the rest of the story, God parts the Red Sea, Hebrews make it through, Egyptian army's following, water closes in, destroys the Egyptian army, and they didn't see the Egyptian army anymore. God made a promise, he followed through. And that's what Moses was trying to get them to see in all of this. Now, you would probably say, you know, surely after the 10 plagues and a deliverance like that, you know, that surely from that point on they trusted God. Surely from that point on they believed in His salvation. Surely from that point on they were obedient, right? But most of you know the rest of the story. Go a little bit further into their story, Exodus, the 16th chapter. Look at verse 2. Then the whole congregation of the children of Israel complained. And I want you to note here that the whole congregation of the children of Israel had a continual complaining problem. Now, why is that important? What can we learn from that today? Well, why is that such a big deal? Because continual complaining comes from a lack of gratitude. A lack of gratitude comes from a lack of trust in God. So if your lips are continually complaining, it's not, hey, what's wrong with my work? It's not, hey, what's wrong with my family? It's not, what's so wrong in my life? Listen, what's probably wrong, what we learn here is there's a problem with your faith if your lips are continually complaining. It can be traced all the way back to a lack of faith. That's what we're being taught right here. That's exactly what we see here. Here, the children of Israel, you know, they didn't trust God, so they weren't grateful to God. What'd they do? They continually complained. You see, no one in deep gratitude for the salvation they have that God offers continually complains. You see, Israel here, they still didn't trust God at this point. And so verse 2, they complained. Verse 3, and the children of Israel said to them, now you want to talk about Stockholm Syndrome right here. Oh, that we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt when we sat by pots of meat. Now, do you really think that they sat by pots of meat, that they really had all of that? We sat by pots of meat and we ate bread to the full. For you have brought us out into the wilderness to kill this whole congregation with hunger. Now, I'm not suggesting to you that the Israelites didn't feed them. But my guess is it wasn't as good as they were remembering in that faulty selective memory they're having. Right? Oh, we had it so good in slavery. You know, yeah, Pharaoh would whip us. He'd beat us. He was trying to break us. Yes, he killed all of our male children, right? But just at the right moment, he'd give us something to eat. Boy, he was the best slave master you could have. Can you see that Stockholm Syndrome spiritually? How they were infested with it through and through? And how the mind sometimes fools us, thinking we had it better outside of God? You see, out here in the wilderness, you know, we got to do what? Well, we got to depend on God. Well, what's that going to take? Trust. Yeah, Pharaoh tried to destroy us, but I tell you what, he fed us just at the right time. We think about their story here. We have a lot that we can apply today. So Moses answers, he says, for God, verse 4, behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a certain quota. Now notice this. A quota every day that I may test them whether they will walk in my law or not. Now if we had time this morning, we'd go further into the chapter. We see that God is going to test them, basically saying, you know, I've been planning to take care of you the whole time. And he's at least taking care of them for 30 days. This is about 30 days further into their story here. It's not like he let them go hungry, right? And so he's basically saying, sure, I'm going to continue to provide for you, but here's how I'm going to do it. I'm going to provide for you day by day. Well, Lord, you know, I'd feel a whole lot better if you gave us our food 30 days at a time. That way, if something happens, you forget about us, or, you know, at least I can provide for me and my family for 30 days. But God says, no, I want you to trust me. I'm going to provide for you 30 days, or day by day. You know, I don't know if I like this day by day thing. And if you remember last week's lesson, God made it very clear there in Deuteronomy chapter 8 when he said, I'm going to give you food day by day because I want you to know that it wasn't the bread that kept you alive, but rather every word that proceeds out of my mouth. Here in Exodus 16, God told them to collect just enough for one day at a time. And those that didn't trust God, they went out and they tried to get more. You read further in the chapter, it began to rot and stink. And then, of course, 6 day, you get enough for 2 days, right, for the Sabbath day. People try to get more than that. What happened? It would stink. It would rot. Basically, God is saying, don't you trust me? Don't you think that I can provide better for you than Pharaoh? That's what God's saying to us today. Why don't you trust me? Don't you think that I can't provide for you better than the world? We have some great and powerful lessons here. And next, I want you to go to Exodus 32nd chapter, if you would. Now, as you're turning to Exodus 32, you're going to pass Exodus 20, the giving of the Ten Commandments, right? The first being, you shall have no other gods before me. The second being, do not have any graven images. Yet Moses, when we get to chapter 32, he went up the mountain for 40 days, right? The people became restless. Their leader's gone. And apparently, you know, they wanted some kind of power in their lives. And this may have been what led them to what we see here. Right? The people gathered together. Now notice what's said here at the end of verse 11. Come, make us gods that shall go before us. For this Moses, the man who brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we do not know what's become of him. Now, apparently, Aaron falls for this line of thinking, and it's hard to believe and accept, but Aaron sins, right? Verses 2 and 3, they're turning in their gold, going to verse 4, and molds that graven image, that calf. And look at this right here. Can you imagine this? Then he says, this is your God, O Israel, that brought you out of the land of Egypt. And then we read, they rose up to play. Now that probably means that there was sexual immorality involved in that and pagan worship. And then God says, look at verse 7. And the Lord said to Moses, go get down, for your people whom you brought out of the land of Egypt have corrupted themselves. What do? They corrupted themselves. How? Look at verse 8. They have turned aside quickly. Now pay attention. They turned aside quickly out of the way which I commanded them. Now we see a basic lesson here, the idea of what it looks like to have Stockholm syndrome spiritually. Right? We're never going to get away from trusting God and obeying Him. We need to understand that. Right, we see here that they would not obey His commandment. Now we're going to see the result here. I hope you're paying attention. They even said there in the end of verse 8, this is your God, O Israel, that brought you out of the land of Egypt. Then in verse 9, and the Lord said to Moses, I have seen this people, and indeed they are a stiff-necked people. Children of Israel would wander in the wilderness for 40 years because of a lack of faith. Now, if you remember from last week, when we looked at Deuteronomy, it was that second generation that they were standing at the edge of the River Jordan about to go into the Promised Land. This is the third time they've been standing at the edge. First time, the Red Sea. You remember that? The Egyptian army's coming. Moses said, as they're standing there at the edge of the Red Sea, stand still. I want you to see the salvation of the Lord. Then they went in. Then they were at the edge of the River Jordan, that first generation about to enter into the Promised Land. Right? Standing at the edge of salvation. All they had to do is have trust in God. Right? And obey God. God said, go in, take the land, it's yours. But they were unfaithful. They believed the wicked report of the 10 out of the 12 spies. Then they had to go wander for 40 years in the wilderness. And that adult generation died out there in the wilderness. Now it's this second generation. This is what Deuteronomy is all about. They again are standing at the edge of salvation. And Moses is pleading with them to trust God, to obey God. You're right on the verge of entering into the Promised Land. It's going to take you trusting God and obeying God. That's what's going on here. And he's telling that second generation here that the first generation didn't trust God, right? And we read, nevertheless, that first generation, they wouldn't go up, they wouldn't take the land, although God said, it's yours for the taking. And he goes on to say that they rebelled. Rebelled against what? Well, rebelled against the word of God. Here in Deuteronomy, the first chapter, I want you to notice this. Verse 27, and you did what? You complained in your tent. You see, when we don't trust God, when we're ungrateful, then what do? We complain. And I want you to think about this, and can you imagine this? Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 27, this is what they did when complaining. What did they say? It's because the Lord hates us. Can you imagine that? They remember nothing. Right? He saved them from bondage. He protected them. Through the Red Sea, he provided manna from heaven, water. He gave them clothes that didn't wear out. Their feet didn't even swell. He made a covenant with them. He's their chosen covenant people. And God loved them dearly. And they said this, oh, he hates us. He brought us out of the land of Egypt to deliver us into the hands of the Amorites, to destroy us. Look at verse 29 here. Notice how they were answered. Then the Lord said, do not be terrified or afraid of them. The Lord your God, who goes before you, he will fight for you according to all that he did for you in Egypt before your eyes and in the wilderness, where you saw how the Lord your God carried you as a man carries his son in the way that you went until you came to this place. What's this place? Standing at the edge of the promised land. And you're really going to say God hates you? Yeah, your life was so much better under Pharaoh. Yeah, your life was so much better in bondage to Satan. It's Pharaoh who hated you. It's Satan who hates you. It's God who loves you. Right? He's saying, I'll carry you through the parts that you cannot walk on your own. Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. Jesus says, I'll give you peace that surpasses all understanding. Why would you not choose God standing at the edge? Look at verse 32. Yet for all that, you did not believe the Lord your God. Now, why didn't they get to enter into the promised land? I want you to get this if you don't remember anything else from this lesson. Why did they get to possess the promised land, that first generation? You know, you think Moses and Aaron, they just showed up out of coincidence? Or do you think God sent them because he's got a purpose? You think all those miracles done by the hands of Moses and Aaron to show the power of God, you think they were just great magicians? Or do you think God was behind that? The parting of the Red Sea, you think that Moses somehow did that? Or do you think that God was behind that? And again, you go through their story. You know, no man could ever do those things. You felt trapped. You were very afraid standing at the edge of the water, the Red Sea. And Moses said, God is going to show you salvation. You saw God do that. You know what God provides for you. Are you going to choose God? Are you going to choose to have faith and trust in God or not? Listen, that question is no different for us today. God has given us all the evidence of his power. He gives us his word, which describes salvation. You know, we also stand at the edge of salvation, and we have a choice to make. You know, that's what Moses was trying to get the children of Israel to see. You know, why wouldn't you choose God standing at the edge of salvation? We all have a choice to make. All right, two New Testament passages, and the lesson is yours. I want you to note here in Hebrews, the third chapter. Now, chapter 4 of Hebrews is a discussion about God's promised rest, the promised land, right, for us. But chapter 3 is a discussion leading up to that, and he's using the children of Israel standing at the edge of the promised land. He's going to use them as a teaching for us today. And so I want you to note this here. Chapter 3, verse 17. Now with whom was he angry 40 years? Was it not with those who sinned, whose corpses fell in the wilderness? And to whom did he swear that they would not enter his rest, but to those who would not obey? Look at verse 19. So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. Now, it says they couldn't enter the promised land because of unbelief. Now, we might think of the word unbelief as not believing in God. They believed in God. They believed in God all day long. What was the problem? They're disobedient. God calls disobedience unbelief. You can believe in God all day long. You can show up to church 3 times a week. I believe in God. But if you are not obedient, you cannot enter into the promised land. Not my words, but God's. So let's not make the mistake that they made and be disobedient. One more passage here, 2 Peter. We're going to skim through just a couple things here and stay with me. Verse 1, chapter 1, 2 Peter. If you want grace and peace, it's only coming from knowledge. We've got to learn Christ. Right, verse 3, it's divine power. Human wisdom didn't give us the word of God. It's inspired. It gives us all things pertaining to life and godliness. The end of verse 4, if we obey that, we can have a divine nature instead of corruption. Notice the end of verse 4 here, having escaped corruption that is in the world through lust. Think about Stockholm Syndrome. Because the Lord, we've been freed from our captor, Satan. We learned about Jesus. So who would then, once again, sympathize with our captor, with Satan? All right, go to chapter 2. Stay with me here. There's people going to start telling us lies, verse 1. Verse 10, they're presumptuous and self-willed. Verse 15, they have forsaken the right way and gone astray. Verse 19, notice, while they promise them liberty, they themselves are slaves of corruption. Oh, come over here and join us. We're free. Right? Those in corruption want you to think that they're the free ones. But really, they're in slavery. Right? Picture it, you know, hey, come over here with us, you know, we're really free. That's a lie. Those who've escaped corruption, you know, we're the free ones. And Satan's telling us, you know, how life over here in corruption is so much better. Look at verse 20. I want you to read it with me. For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world, see, we've been freed from our hostage taker. How'd that happen? He says, through the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But then you have folks that did do that, but they are again entangled in them and overcome. Verse 21, for it would have been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than having known it, to turn from the holy commandment delivered to them. But it has happened to them according to the true proverb, a dog returns to his own vomit, and a sow having been washed to wallowing in the mire. Now, I'm going to ask you again, who would go back? Right? It's the same person God says, you know, it's like a dog returning to its vomit. Who would go back after standing at the edge of salvation? Now, Satan's going to make it sound enticing and nice. Right? He's going to make it sound welcoming. But God says, no, it's like vomit. God tells you the truth. That harsh, vivid imagery there. It's like a dog returning to its vomit. Rather, Satan, he's saying here, look how free you can be again. As that person literally walks back into the chains of bondage. So by way of conclusion, what did I learn this morning? Do I trust God or Satan? If I don't obey God in all things, I must trust Satan as my taskmaster. Many choose what they can see with their eyes over what they can't see by faith. I need to make a choice. Do I choose God through obedience to His word or not? This morning, it's my hope and prayer that we all put our faith and our trust in Jesus. You know, the Bible, if we don't do our best to learn it and love it and live it, we will become a sympathizer of evil. The choice is ours to make this morning as we stand at the edge of salvation. If you're here this morning, you've never obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, you need to be obedient to that. Put on Christ in baptism if you haven't. Do that with a believing heart, repentive heart, a confessing mouth, right, reenacting His death, burial, and resurrection in water. Romans 6, 3 and 4. If you haven't done that, that's a call. If you've done that, maybe you went back to being a sympathizer of evil, right? And you're just realizing that. Or you've made a separation from God like that vivid imagery, you've went back like a dog returning to its vomit, and you realize that that's a good thing, and it hurts your heart that you've hurt God. Well, then do something about it and come back home. Let us pray for you, pray with you, if that's what needs to be done. If you have a spiritual need this morning, don't hesitate. Come, let someone know as we stand, as we sing.